From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Black. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. All rested up and recovered from a crazy weekend at the second annual Electric Forest Festival in beautiful Rothbury, Michigan, brought to you by Madison House, Insomniac, and String Cheese Incident. Once again, Double J Ranch hosted for 4 days an amazing collage of artists from the worlds of jam, hip-hop, and dance music that all melted together in the psychedelic Sherwood Forest of Wonders, chock full of lasers and circus acts and all sorts of nuttiness that pictures and video can only begin to describe. Today I want to highlight some of the artists who performed in the forest and bring you a conversation with the one and only Grammatic. We got to talk to him about his latest album, Digital Freedom, out now for free on Pretty Lights Music, and discuss what's inspiring him in his latest tunes. It might actually surprise you. Let's kick things off with Grizz. He joined Grammatic for a surprise set on Saturday night deep in the backwoods. Here's You Got to Change.
We'll be right back.
Minnesota with Jetstream. One of the coolest aspects of Electric Forest was that cutting-edge labels and promoters had the chance to curate their own stages. Thievery Corporation had their ESL lineup, Steve Aoki was there with Dim Mock, the guys from Prime Social Group brought some really cool artists out to the Wagon Wheel stage on Saturday afternoon, and around the same time Frankie Chan got to show off some of the artists he's been featuring at his trend-setting Check Your Ponytail Nights out in LA. Lots of indie and hip-hop mixed with electronica as he led off the evening and made way for Hot Tub, Glass Candy, one of my favorite sets of the festival, Das Races, as well as Chromatics and Picture Plane with 12th Planet anchoring the Tripoli stage. Let's listen to a little bit from Frankie Chan, illustrator, artist, and promoter. Here's his Shameful Dub remix of Fuck You, Stupid Bitch from Deep Dark Robot. Frankie Chan of Check Your Ponytail. Let's get to the interview with Grammatic.
Dennis Yasarovich, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Hot. It's hot. We know that.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in. We'll save you some time. We were talking about digital freedom a minute ago. How's the response been?
For digital freedom?
Yeah.
Pretty awesome, I gotta say, so far.
Did you feel like you were taking a risk with it?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't view music that way. Like, it's just something that comes out of me at a certain moment in time.
Yeah.
And that's my music, so...
What was that evolution between your first PLM release, Beats and Pieces Volume 1, to Digital Freedom? Do you view them as two separate entities?
Or no, because like I didn't know Shortcuts before Beats and Pieces. And
yeah.
That was basically the same kind of mixture of genres that I mixed on Digital Freedom. It was just a progression of No Shortcuts,
yeah,
which came out before Beats and Pieces. And Beats and Pieces, it's a progression of like the Street Banger series, you know?
Yeah.
So it's basically the same shit I've been doing from since day one, only now I'm getting more traction and some people are not familiar with my older albums yet. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe what would make people think that I'm switching or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, it's just stupidity, you know, for me. I'm just trying to make music that I like at that particular moment.
Right.
And not confining myself to one genre. That's it.
So tell me, when you were coming up with the concept for this, obviously it's got layers and layers, because digital freedom is not just about, you know, the accessibility of music.
That's,
yeah, it's a whole concept in a way about what it means to be, as you put it earlier, digital slaves and tied,
yeah,
into technology.
Yeah.
But also, you know, around the time as this was coming out, SOPA and PIPA,
yeah,
were on the...
That was the main...
That was the big news of the day.
That was the main thing I named the album like that, because I felt like I had to, you know, if I have any kind of, like, traction on Facebook, whatever, with my fans, like, I should, you know, use the hype around the album to spread awareness about important issues, like... the issues about, you know, censorship bills, you know, which is like a huge factor for us, and not just for musicians or whoever works with the internet, but for humanity in general, because what those bills would represent is like a Nazi Germany on the web. We can't have that, you know. It's like that would destroy the internet as we know it today, and it would just be retarded. And those, like, we would give the entire control of the internet into hands of like six big corporations, mm-hmm. and they could do whatever they want at any given moment. If they feel your site is infringing something of theirs, they shut you down immediately, and they don't even have to present any proof and anything until like further notice, and you're out of business.
You grew up in the Eastern Bloc, right?
No, I grew up in Central Europe. I'm from Slovenia.
Okay, but you were still aware of, you know, the restrictions of, you know, what the Soviets were doing with information and media at the time.
Of course.
So I imagine this rings especially true for you.
It's like, well, Slovenia is like located between Hungary and Austria, Italy and Croatia. So okay. We are like far away from the Soviet Union, so mm-hmm. we were never influenced by any of them in our like history. But what is definitely like in Europe, this has been happening way longer, you know, and people have been dealing with this in a more specific way than here in the States. Like here, it's still like a lot of this stuff was still like very undefined mm-hmm. until recent history, you know.
Sure. So, and this stuff is still going on in China, like
yeah.
Baidu, the national search engine, mm-hmm. you know, it blocks Facebook and Twitter and anything that may, you know, show some sort of negative light on the Chinese government. So this is
exactly
this is
the same
happening right now.
This is corporations trying to make America and Europe China's.
Yeah.
In terms of like eliminating freedom of speech and liberty of the press mm-hmm. and like just the free use of the internet as it is, because Google wouldn't work the same.
Right.
Wikipedia wouldn't work the same. Nothing would work the same. So why the fuck would we do that? That would
right.
be crippling the best thing that ever happened for, you know, technological evolution in the history of the world.
Specific to what you do, I mean,
to what we all do.
Absolutely.
Imagine a life without Google and Wikipedia working as they do, but censored, like in China.
When,
you know
when,
what I'm saying? Like, that's
when
what they're trying to do.
Blacked out for a day, could you even think about how much you used Google and Wikipedia when
Dude.
That was happening?
Yeah.
I mean,
I was
every
like,
day. You're,
every day.
You're dialed in.
Every day. Like, people send you links every day from mm-hmm. Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
even have to go and search for something.
Yeah.
People are like, look at this. And you blacked out.
And because the electronic music, I mean, revolution, you can't call it anything less, that's happened in the past few years with artists like yourself shooting up in the national popularity. I mean, this is all due to your Facebooks and your Twitter and everything that we're dialed into.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I think it's very important. They're going to keep coming back. They're not going to stop, because that's their goal, because they realize that internet took everything they had away from them. They could control TV, they cannot control the internet, and that's what they want to do. Like, they have the media, but internet is free and accessible to everybody, and everybody can put up a site and express their views, and that is just a huge fucking thorn in the heel, you know what I'm saying?
Is that why, do you think it's your goal, since you have so many Facebook followers, so many Twitter followers, it's your duty to show your fans, hey, this is what's going on. You know, it's fun to go to a party and dance.
Yeah,
but be aware of what's going on.
Don't be a fucking sheep, you know, because that's exactly what they want to do with you. That's
yeah.
that's how they want you to be. And, like, we have to be, like, it's awesome to party and everything, but just be a little bit more aware, you know?
Absolutely. So, since the album Digital Freedom came out, have your shows taken on a sort of different vibe? Do you feel yourself skewing one way or the other, or is it still just a grammatic set, like you're playing what you want to play?
Exactly, it's a grammatic set. It's with the new stuff, like it's always. I usually drop, you know, two projects a year, you know, so
yeah.
every like and the set just gets updated with the new stuff, you know,
yeah.
and I try to figure out which tracks are in the same key with some old tracks, maybe mix them together, do a mashup of them for live or not, blah blah blah, you
yeah.
know, but it's just like it's always a grammatic, typical grammatic set that it's just go with the flow, you know?
Sure.
So my set means that it's nothing is confined to a certain type of execution.
Yeah.
Anything can happen
sure.
in any kind of way. And right now I still enjoy really playing with a guitarist, which
yeah.
because it's like that live element that I have to have.
Absolutely.
Because since I'm performing it like strictly digitally,
mm-hmm.
and that's like a raw representation of, you know, what we do, but also like having a live instrument on stage brings a like that raw live music element
yeah.
that I incorporate in my production, you
absolutely.
Know
absolutely
and it makes it more fun for me first.
I'm
I
sure.
wanted to do that because I don't like the static of, because I'm playing my own music, I'm not a DJ, so I play always my own music.
Yeah.
You get bored of it.
Yeah.
And having a guitarist there that can shred like in and funk like crazy, you know, makes it so much nicer for me every night to enjoy myself on stage. Otherwise, I'm bored with my music.
Yeah, tell me about your guitarist. You were touring with your good buddy Alex for a long time. Tell me about the guitarist that's coming with you.
Well, I was touring with FAQ for 2 years, and now he went back home to chill for a sec. Work on his own set, on his own new EP that we're going to put out hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay.
So he's focusing on the FAQ project right now. And my other buddy, Eric, who's an awesome blues and funk guitarist, took his role and he's going to play with me right now.
What is it like bringing a new artist who maybe you haven't played with as much in the past? What is it like, you know, introducing them to the Grammatic sound and the Grammatic aesthetic? Do you say, you know, this is what we do? Or are you like, you're a master musician.
Yeah.
Do your thing and put your own stamp on my sound.
I've never played with anybody that would be like that. I always played only with my friends.
Yeah.
Who we have like a good relationship as friends. And then we also like are on the same wavelength,
sure,
the same frequency when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
So like Eric and I have been making music for like 2 years now.
Okay.
Together, and he played a lot of the blues and the funk licks you hear on Digital Freedom, like on Fist Up and 22 Flavors. That was all Eric, you know.
Wow. Okay.
So this is just a natural thing. Like you know, we were even talking about it before. Like as soon as like FAQ starts seriously considering his like FAQ project, mm-hmm, and starting coming up with tracks that he feels are good enough for an EP,
yeah,
then you're gonna take his role, you know.
Okay.
Because Eric does a little bit of production yet, but he's not on any level yet to be you know, thinking about an EP. You know, he just started. I showed him how to work with Ableton, and he's very talented too. And he's gonna probably do the same thing as FAQ one day, which I hope for him. Because I was like telling FAQ all the time when he did the first track, I was like, dude,
you got it.
You fucking got it. That's your sound. It's so unique for you. And then he did the remix for the It's Over from Street Bangers Volume 1.
Yeah.
And I was like blown away. And it was like so his stamp on it. Like it smelled like him. You know,
yeah.
I was like, this is what you need to be doing right now, dude. Not playing guitar for me, but make an EP and go straight. We go out, you know, guns blazing.
So, I mean, you grew up playing in a band, so you know how to work with somebody else. It's not like a lot of producers who, this is a very solitary existence. It's sort of a feedback loop where you're just like, you know, this is what I like to do. And you know, so you do everything the same way and you get into a rut maybe where you're not hearing any outside opinions and you just do all the time.
I always listen, especially if I'm working with a really good musician. I'm his bitch, you know what I'm saying? Like, I listen to whatever he has to say and whatever he has to play over what I'm trying to give him, you know. I have to be, you know, there's no way I would be ignored, you know, ignoring that.
Absolutely.
I'd be like, yeah, dude, show me what you hear.
Right.
You play the instrument, not me.
Yeah.
I have an idea what I wanted on it, but I want to hear your vision first. Maybe it blows my fucking mind.
Sure.
And in 80% of cases, it blows my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Because they hear it in a completely different manner than
absolutely
you do. You know. So
absolutely.
I play a little bit of keys, but not in any way that I'll be comfortable playing on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, anyway. I'm hoping one day in the future.
Enough
to play my own, you know, solos and shit like that.
Demonstrate some sort of idea that you're working on.
Yeah, with a nice synth that I can also like use LFOs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working on right now. But I'm not in any form that would be comfortable putting that on stage.
Not yet.
Hopefully one day.
Along that line, what are you listening to right now that's turning you on? That's just this
Tenacious D new album, dude.
Really?
Oh my god, dude.
You're a rock guy.
No, I just love Jack's black humor, like in like the rock comedy that he projects.
Sure.
Of course, I'm also a rock guy. I grew up with that shit, like we all did, you know. So, but the way Jack Black is a comedic genius, dude, and he can sing his fucking ass off.
He can.
It's
He's
amazing.
Such a Broadway guy.
Like all those serious bands that do that kind of music can only wish they can sing as good as Jack Black.
And he gets to do it with a wink.
Making fun of it.
He gets to do it with a wink.
Have you heard it? The new album, the Roadie song,
the
song about the Roadie.
Oh, I'm
the
sure
best song in the world right now. It's about the Roadie and the troubles of his life and the way he has to make sure that the band looks like rock gods every night,
absolutely,
but he's hiding in the shadows of the stage and nobody will ever know. And
you
it's
can
like,
identify with that.
I played it for all the roadies that ever worked for me.
I bet. That's great.
And like, it's like, that's what we've been playing for the past week. Whenever we're in the car, I just played Tenacious D.
Cause a little bit of rock and roll coming into the new Grammatic sound?
Because I'm a huge comedy fan. You know, it's like that's, and I write comedy as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I do that. Like, if you check my Twitter, you'll see.
Do you just listen to podcasts all day long in the van? You gotta get on podcasts, dude. I don't listen to hardly that much music anymore because comedy podcasts, I mean, that's just funny people having conversations.
Exactly. And
it kills time.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of The Daily Show, Jon Stewart.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's my biggest inspiration.
Mixing politics, comedy, there you go.
No, because, like, people ask me, like, what's your inspiration for this album, that album? I'm like, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Because it's, like, not about the craft itself. I'm inspired by perfection. And those guys, when it comes to political comedy, are as perfect as it gets.
Yeah.
They're, like, ages ahead of everybody else. They're trying to do political satire, you know?
If you want to say something as a politician, you better be goddamn sure
that
you haven't contradicted yourself, because they're going to go into some file footage and find
it makes the
politicians the exact opposite thing.
The more following The Daily Show gets and the more big it becomes, the more it makes the politicians watch what they fucking say, because once they spin you on The Daily Show,
you're undone.
You're over, you know? And it's like, and it hasn't been a huge trouble for him until, like, recently, because The Daily Show was never as famous as it is now.
Now,
for the simple fact that
him.
People are too stupid to understand
right,
you know?
But, I mean, think about the whole new generation who gets their news from him.
Exactly. And now there's, like, millions and millions of fans.
Yeah.
And now the politicians are concerned because they're speaking too much truth about us and then showing us in the real light that we don't want to be seen in, you know?
It's the role that journalism is supposed to play, speaking truth to power. And he's like, hey, I'm a dude making a comedy show.
I've discovered that I get my news from The Daily Show and my comedy from Fox News. I'm serious, because that shit is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like an organization like Fox News could never exist in Europe. Ever.
Oh, man.
That's unique to American style of brainwashing.
It's its own animal. I don't even know what.
Don't get me wrong. Europeans are getting brainwashed by the media every day, but
yeah.
Fox News can only exist in America.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Last thing. We are at Electric Forest. Who are you gonna catch?
Oh, well, Bass Nectar, obviously.
Sure.
I've seen a lot of acts today, yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've seen Zed's Dead and Trevory and all those dudes, and there's, like, I want to see Richie Hotton really bad.
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple of times back home in my hometown.
Okay.
Because he came all the time to play this huge rave club.
Sure,
hometown, which is like 5,000 capacity. And
yeah.
I never got the chance to meet him, hoping I can meet him, because I'm playing, it's me, Mimosa, Richie Hotton, and that's the
being
end
an
of the
artist
night.
Backstage has its perks, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully I get to meet him. You know,
well, perfect.
Because I'm a huge fan of his, and, like, he's one of the main, like, electronic music innovators when it came to, like, combining technology. Because he was behind
Plastic Man. Holy shit!
He was working with Native Instruments on developing of the Traktor.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like he was behind that. He was the first DJ ever to play an all Traktor set, because he was one of the developers, and nobody until that time. They were using betas on stage,
mm-hmm.
and nobody trusted it. It had a lot of glitches. It was crashing. So everybody had, like, CDJs or turntables.
It's a ballsy
and
move.
It was that as a backup. And then when they came out with the final version, Richie Hotton said, all right, so now we're going to do a full Traktor set. And if it glitches, it glitches. I don't want no turntables, nothing. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this all the way.
Wow.
And he did it for, like, a 10,000 people crowd.
Yeah.
And the set went perfectly smooth. And from then on, Traktor, you know, was released. Went crazy.
You love the innovators.
He was like he said that the engineers from Native Instruments were all in the front row with John Acquaviva
biting
the
their
side,
nails down
biting
the
their fucking nails waiting for this computer to glitch in front of 10,000 people, you know, and it didn't happen.
That's
so
awesome.
He's like a huge inspiration in, like, terms of, like, innovating music,
taking
technology
risks.
And music, you know.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, Dennis, I'm gonna let you go. It's
thanks,
a pleasure,
man.
Pleasure. We'll see you
thanks,
soon,
buddy.
Grammatic taking some time to talk to me Saturday afternoon at Electric Forest Festival. Here's more from his Digital Freedom album, out now for free on Pretty Lights Music.
Calling me a thief, I'm robbing your town. I'm not going to be able to do that.
We Are The Sun, the big gigantic remix of Savoy and Heather Bright. Big G had a huge weekend at Electric Forest, as everyone expected. It was good to see Dom and Jeremy out there enjoying themselves and reaping the rewards of a huge year out on the road. We'll take Grammatic's Born Ready to close out the show. Special thanks for this week's episode go to Carrie Lombardi and Megan McFan with Madison House, Frankie Chan with iHeart Comics and Check Your Ponytail, Morgan Young with Velour Music Group, Prime Social Group, the entire staff there at Electric Forest. Everybody was so helpful. And of course, my guest, Dennis J. You can grab the Grammatic album Digital Freedom for free from prettylightsmusic.com. You'll be at Forecastle Festival and Camp Bisco next weekend, so make sure you've got your tickets. Please visit theunst.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunz.com. Join the conversation at the Unz podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week with Ott. We'll be right back.